Hello, full-bodied family. My name's Kayla, and thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Full-Bodied Crime Podcast. I apologize that there's been such a delay in episodes, but I think we can all agree that we're in absolute hectic times with this novel coronavirus. I mean, I cannot believe how fast COVID-19 has changed our everyday lives, and I pray for all those that are affected, but I mean, so many people are affected on so many levels, whether it be their health, finances, their family members' health. It's just a trying time for so many of us, but all we can do is have faith that this will be over soon and we'll once again be able to interact with one another and shake hands and go to restaurants and be back in schools. I truly just cannot wait for this to be all over. I work in an ER and it's been eerily quiet. I mean, I'm used to seeing around anywhere from like 26 to 50 patients a day. Obviously, 50 is a busier day, but lately it's been 8 to 12. I mean, it's crazy. We miss, you know, interacting with people, but I guess that means people are at least staying safe and not feeling like they need to come in, so that's good. But I am hoping within the next 30 days that we'll have some marked improvement and be close to being back to our normal lives, but hey, may we never take those days for granted again, right? So I just, want to extend my greatest condolences and send my heart out to anyone struggling through this time. And I also know that this can be a trying time on your mental health. And I just want to tell you to hang in there. You're strong and this will all be over soon. And hopefully our everyday lives will seem a little bit brighter once we're allowed to have a sense of normalcy again. But let's get into what you came here for and get into today's crime. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing a horrific serial killer named Robert Andrew Berdella Jr. I don't say this on every episode that listener discretion is advised, but I am definitely saying it on this one. This one, I would definitely not listen to around children, as the serial killer's crimes are absolutely sickening and cruel, and I do want to provide as much detail as possible, so yeah, like I mentioned, not an episode for children, and if you do have a weak stomach, I just want to kind of warn you to be cautious with this episode, because the details do get pretty graphic. And before I get too far into this episode, I just want to give a huge amount of credit to Gabe Pelotti, who wrote the article titled The Heinous Crimes of Robert Berdella, the Kansas City Butcher, which provided a lot of information and foundation for this case. So this specific article is present on allthatsinteresting.com, and it'll be listed on the full-bodiedcrime.com website in case you'd like to check it out for yourself. So I just want to remind everyone that all the sources for each episode are listed on the website. So if you ever want to check the information or are curious where I got it from or want to do more research on your own, then every research tool that I have is listed there for you. Okay, so let's get into it. Robert Berdella Jr. was a serial killer who would later be titled the Kansas City Butcher. Now, he was a serial killer in the same era of the infamous Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, and although he didn't have nearly as many victims as the other notorious serial killers, Robert Berdella's methods of torturing his victims makes him one of the most sadistic and brutal serial killers of all time, well, at least in my opinion, but I'll let you formulate your own opinion on that matter once you know all the details. So, Robert Berdella Jr. was born on January 31st, 1949, in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, to parents Robert Berdella Sr. and Mary Berdella. This couple set the foundation for a family that was trying to live the American dream, and they went on to have another son after Robert. So with their two sons, the family found comfort in their strong Catholic faith and routinely attended Mass every Sunday. Now, even though there was this attempted, you know, picture-perfect family on the outside, much like other serial killers, Robert Berdella Jr. did not have the easiest upbringing. He had a home life that consisted of both mental and physical abuse, and we can only assume that his home life and his childhood upbringing had a strong contribution on who he became as an adult. Robert Berdella Jr. was also known as a loner in school with no real friends throughout his childhood. Not only was he a loner, but he suffered from a severe case of nearsightedness. So he had these huge glasses, but he also had a speech impediment and high blood pressure, which is actually super abnormal for this age. But he was on a bunch of medication for his blood pressure, so basically, all these conditions combined made Robert extremely susceptible to being bullied throughout his youth. Now, at this point, Robert is a loner and being bullied, and even when he returns home, the harassment doesn't stop. His father was known to be both verbally and physically abusive, and it was even said that he abused Robert Jr. for his lack of athleticism. Often he used a leather strap to abuse his children with, and he even abused his other son, who did show more of an interest in sports, so overall he kind of just seems like a rather unstable man and a poor father figure in his son's lives. Now, even though he was, like, difficult to teach, Robert was intelligent, and by his teenage years, he did gain some confidence, and he began socializing with his peers more. At this time, he did realize that he was a homosexual male, and having this knowledge and self-awareness, he was able to have a better understanding of who he was as a person. Now, he didn't tell anybody that he was gay, and he actually briefly had a girlfriend as a teenager, but this new understanding of himself did make him feel more confident on a day-to-day basis. However, sometimes confidence and self-assurance can be displayed as cockiness, and this is exactly what happened to Robert. This is a direct quote from the allthatsinteresting.com article, and it states, quote, "This confidence manifested itself in a rude and condescending attitude, especially towards women, that he would hold for the rest of his life," end quote. Now, he did experience a tragedy in his teenage years on Christmas Day in 1965 when his father, Robert Berdella Sr., died of a heart attack at the young age of just 39. Robert Jr. was actually not with his family at the time of the heart attack, and he was informed 2 days later when his family returned home from visiting relatives who lived in another part of Ohio. After the sudden and unexpected loss of his father, Robert Jr. had a tough time remaining religious, and this was basically the beginning of him cutting off all ties with religion and Catholicism. It also didn't help that after the death of his father, his mother Mary remarried very quickly, and Robert Jr. saw this as a huge dishonor to his father. The combination of his upbringing, the abuse, his lack of friends and any social life, mixed in with the unexpected death of his father, his detachment from religion, and his mother's quick remarriage, Robert became increasingly withdrawn and began living a very solitary lifestyle. Now, an article from the Department of Psychology at Radford University in Virginia provides a great timeline of the series of events that took place in Robert's life. At the age of 16 is when Robert lost his father, but this was not the only tragic and traumatic thing that occurred during this year. Looking back on his life after doing research on Berdella, it seems like this year that he turned 16 was one of the most shaping years of his entire life, and it possibly set the foundation to the man that we now know as the Kansas City Butcher. So, at the age of 16, Robert not only lost his father, he not only stopped attending church and basically gave up his religion, but he was also raped by a man he worked with. Robert was working at a restaurant at this age, and he was raped by one of his co-workers, which was an absolutely mentally and physically traumatic event in the young man's life. As if all this wasn't enough, during his 16th year, Robert also watched the movie The Collector, which I personally haven't seen, but per the Radford University article, this movie is about a man who kidnaps a woman and holds her captive, and Berdella later admits that this movie actually had a long-lasting impression on him. So, in 1967, Robert Berdella Jr. was 18, finally out of high school, and this is when he began attending the Kansas City Art Institute. Finally, Robert found a comfortable environment where he was able to express himself for exactly who he was, and he did find himself thriving in this artistic, collegiate environment. However, during this time in college, Robert did begin abusing drugs, and he also began doing some low-level drug dealing. Now, at this point in his life, this is when things kind of significantly began turning for the worst. Robert Berdella Jr. began participating in one of the most serial killer indicative things by torturing and killing animals. And I'm sorry, this is something I have, like, no tolerance for. If you hurt an animal, an innocent animal, you are one of the worst types of people. I mean, that's it for me. But the following year, in 1968, Robert did have a few run-ins with law enforcement, and he was arrested for, you know, selling various drugs ranging from marijuana, amphetamines, and LSD. But he never spent a significant amount of time incarcerated, and he was free to roam about the world as he pleased during this time. So, in 1969, his behavior escalated so much that he left college because the Art Institute wasn't approving of a piece of art he did, where he literally tortured, killed, and cooked a duck in order to display it as some form of art, from my understanding, which that doesn't even make sense because that's just so... ugh. So after receiving this criticism from the school, Berdella then left and moved to the Hyde Park region of Kansas City, Missouri. As he started this new chapter in his life, Robert actually began his own company, which was called Bob's Bazaar Bazaar, with the description of ethnological curiosities from the world's far corners. Basically, this store was a bizarre international imports type of place where he had various arts and jewelries from all over the world, and he was even said to have skulls on display for purchase as well, which seems, I guess, fitting for a truly bizarre store, but kind of creepy. At this point in time, around the year 1981, Berdella was open about his homosexuality and began what is described as a very unstable relationship with a Vietnam veteran. To my understanding, this was his first official relationship with another man, and also to my understanding, it was very, very toxic and didn't last long before the couple broke up. So, shortly after the breakup, Robert was not only experimenting with drugs, but his behavior progressed to having sexual interactions with male prostitutes. He not only was attracted to and sought after male prostitutes, but he also sought after other drug addicts and criminals and runaways, and he claimed that he was, you know, air quote, mentoring them. However, Robert was not mentoring these men at all, but he was instead having a very manipulative, sadistic sexual relationship with them. A direct quote from the allthatsinteresting.com article states, quote, Berdella used his money and influence to create an imbalance of power in his relationships. He would use to control these young runaways, many who had been prostitutes or had been sexually abused, end quote. So, in 1984 is when Robert Berdella Jr.'s sick and sadistic murder spree begins, when he took the life of 19-year-old Jerry Howell. Now, Jerry was actually the son of Paul Howell, who was someone Robert knew from his bizarre imports business. On July 5th, 1984, Robert Berdella offered to drive Jerry Howell to a dance competition in a nearby town. But instead of taking him to the dance competition, Berdella got Jerry intoxicated off of alcohol, and then he proceeded to drug him with Valium and Ace Promazine. Now, Valium is a drug that we so commonly hear of, and it's one of the main uses to, like, treat anxiety, and it has calming components. But Ace Promazine was used on humans back in the 1950s as an antipsychotic, but now it's only used on animals as a sedative and an antiemetic. So, after basically sedating Jerry, Robert then brought him to the house and tied him to his bed for 28 hours. During this time span, the malicious events that occurred to this poor 19-year-old were nothing short of absolutely horrendous. Jerry Howell was continuously drugged and routinely tortured and raped. He was also, quote, violated with foreign objects. Jerry was pleading with Robert Berdella to please stop. He was trying to scream amidst the gag in his mouth, but Berdella showed no signs of stopping for the entire 28 hours. This absolute nightmare finally ended in pretty much one of the worst ways possible, after 19-year-old Jerry Howell was asphyxiated from a combination of drugs, his gag, and his own vomit. Even in his post-mortem state, Jerry wasn't safe from Robert Bardella's torture. Robert was truly sick, like mentally, completely sick. I don't think I can get over the fact that the victim was just 19 when he experienced this terrible and tragic end to his life. And then even after death, his body was still treated with absolutely no respect. Here's another direct quote from that All That's Interesting article, which provides a more in-depth detail on how Jerry's body was handled. It states, quote, "After Howell died, Bardella butchered his body, leaving the corpse upside down overnight with cuts in major arteries to drain the blood and then dismembering the body with a bone saw. He then placed the pieces of the dismembered body in separate garbage bags, along with assorted other trash, and left them out on the curb for the garbage men to take away." End quote. That is just, I mean, so sickening. And this is the first known victim. So, I mean, literally, it's his first time murdering someone. He completely tortures them, rapes them, dismembers them, and then throws them into trash bags and dumps them like garbage. I mean, in my opinion, at least, that's truly a 0 to 100 scenario. He had never murdered before and then does this to someone he knew's son who was just 19. That's just so completely insane to me. To add to the horrific details of this crime, Robert Bardella Jr. actually kept detailed notes of how he raped and tortured Jerry Howell. He kept these notes on a notepad, and this is actually something he kept doing throughout his other murders, and it was later found that he had taken notes on every single one of his victims. So obviously, as we're discussing a serial killer, the murders didn't end there. On April 10th, 1985, Robert Bardella claimed his next victim. On this fateful April 10th day, a drifter that Robert had exploited for years arrived on his doorstep asking for somewhere to stay. This man was 23-year-old Robert Sheldon, and he had no idea what danger awaited him inside of Bardella's home. This was someone he knew. This was someone he had interacted with on numerous occasions prior. He truly could have never known what fate was lying ahead of him as he walked through Bardella's front door. Bardella had the intentions of keeping Sheldon, and he wanted Sheldon to be his victim for numerous days, to torture and absolutely brutalize him over and over again. Now, the next part is somewhat cringeworthy, so if you don't want to hear the details, I would recommend hitting the skip forward button a few times to avoid the graphic content I'm about to discuss. Robert Sheldon is the victim when Bardella decided to begin using chemicals in order to weaken his victims, which in turn allowed him to basically increase his level of torture. Bardella bound Robert Sheldon's wrist with piano wire in an attempt to damage the nerves in his wrist. He then proceeded to put drain cleaner in his eyes and filled his ears with caulking. Now, I'm unsure of how the damage on the nerves went in his wrist, if the piano wire successfully did damage the nerves, which would obviously cause insane pain, but I'm hoping that if the nerves were damaged, that Sheldon wouldn't have been able to feel the next thing that Bardella did when he began forcing needles underneath Robert Sheldon's fingernails. Gosh, that thought just makes me cringe. And to add to the horrific nature of the crime, Radford University also states, quote, "He sodomized and tortured him repeatedly for days. A workman arrived to do some roofing work for Bardella. Bardella then suffocated Sheldon with a plastic bag so that the workman would not hear him. He then placed the body in his bathtub and made incisions to allow the blood to drain. He then dismembered and disposed of the body as he had done with Howell, except this time he kept the head and buried it in the backyard." End quote. So now we're on the month of June, about 2 months after the death of Robert Sheldon, when Bardella decides to commit his next murder. This man was named Mark Wallace, and he was actually a runaway that Bardella had encountered during his times of, you know, air quotes, mentoring runaways. And Robert Bardella Jr. had actually found Mark Wallace attempting to sleep in his shed on a night when there was a violent storm outside. And in that moment, he knew this man was going to be his next victim. Rodella began his torture of Mark Wallace by drugging him and giving him high-voltage electric shocks and sticking hypodermic needles in his back. This torture lasted over the span of a few days before he was asphyxiated and his body was dismembered and disposed of. And just 1 month after the brutal torture and murder of Mark Wallace, Berdella continued his murder spree and claimed his next victim. After encountering his old acquaintance, Walter James Ferris, at a gay bar, Berdella sought this as his next opportunity to claim a victim. Once again, his sadistic, torturous ways escalated, and upon arrival to Berdella's home, Walter was tied to Berdella's bed, and this is another graphic part, but his genitals were shocked with 7,700 volts of electricity, which, regardless of the voltage, no one should ever be tortured or be electrocuted anywhere, but specifically in their genitalia. Walter was tortured and electrocuted for 2 days until his body couldn't handle it anymore and he eventually died secondary to all the abuse. There was a few months where there was no known victims of Berdella, but the following year is when Robert Berdella ran into a former male prostitute that he used to have interactions with. This man was named Todd Stoops, and after running into him at a nearby park, Berdella offered Stoops to go back to his home and have lunch. Now, this is another case where there's an elevation in the crimes that were committed by Robert Berdella. He drugged Todd Stoops, but instead of torturing him for a few days and discarding the body, he decided to keep Todd trapped into the house for a few weeks, from June 17th, 1986 to July 7th. He also attempted to keep Stoops and turn him into a submissive sex slave. Now, this included its own form of torture, and Berdella would do things such as attempting to incapacitate Todd through giving him electrical shocks through his eyes. He would also inject drain cleaner into the larynx of Stoop, which is the same region as the Adam's apple for anybody that's not familiar with that. But his purpose of injecting drain cleaner in the larynx was because Berdella was trying to make Todd a mute. His efforts were completely unsuccessful, so this poor man seriously got drain cleaner injected into the larynx of his throat for absolutely no reason at all, other than the plain sadistic torture that Berdella wanted to ensue on him. Once again, I'm about to discuss some more graphic content, like extra graphic, so if you don't want to hear it, I don't blame you because, you know, this is a real-life story with real-life victims, and the terrible manner of torturing and murdering these people is just absolutely awful. So, yeah, if you don't want to hear it, the manner of Todd Stoops' death, I suggest fast-forwarding at least 30 to 45 seconds. So, Berdella was trying to make Todd into his sex slave, and this consisted of sexually assaulting and raping him on countless occasions over quite a long duration of time. But the final cause of death to Todd Stoops was blood loss. After his anal cavity had been ruptured by Robert Berdella's fist. I mean, it's just absolutely sickening. I can't imagine the pain, the horror, and the agony that Todd Stoops went through in his final, you know, weeks, days, hours, and moments of his life. After Todd's death, there was a pause in murder victims until the year 1987, when Berdella decided to claim another life. His next victim was 20-year-old Larry Wayne Pearson, who was an individual who would frequent Bob's Bazaar Imports when Berdella had this business. Now, this murder seemed more anger-fueled, and Robert decided Larry was going to be his next victim after he had jokingly referred to robbing gay men in Wichita. Obviously, as a gay man himself, Berdella was angry about this joke or comment, so he decided to make Pearson his next victim. This torture and murder of Larry Pearson seemed like a combination of what torture was performed on all the other prior victims, but for 6 weeks, Berdella tortured and raped Larry. He would drug him, incapacitate him, bind and electrically shock Larry, and even though this didn't work on his prior victim, Todd Stoops, Berdella still injected drain cleaner into Pearson's larynx. He had even hit Larry with a metal bar, causing his hand to break. So after the 6-week duration of torture, something that Berdella would have never fathomed occurred. Pearson was fed up with the torture, and once again, graphic content, so please feel free to skip ahead, but in the act of forced fellatio, and if you don't know what that means, you'll know shortly, but in the act of forced fellatio, Pearson bit deeply into Berdella's penis. Berdella did have to seek medical attention for this injury, and he was actually required to be admitted into the hospital, but before accepting his admission, he went home to finish one task. Robert Berdella proceeded to return home from the hospital, beat and strangle Larry Pearson to death. Now, the murder of Larry Pearson occurred on August 5th of 1987, but after he was discharged from the hospital on August 7th, Berdella then proceeded to bury Pearson's body in the backyard. At this time, he took the skull that he had previously laid there of Robert Sheldon's, and he decided to display Sheldon's skull inside of his house. Now, on March 29th, 1988, Berdella abducted his very last victim. This victim was a 22-year-old male prostitute named Christopher Bryson. Berdella had solicited this prostitute for sex, and little did this young 22-year-old man know what fate lied ahead. Almost immediately after entering Berdella's home, Christopher Bryson was knocked unconscious with a metal bar. And then he was tied up. Berdella used the same previous forms of torture on Bryson and kept him tied to the bed for quite some time. However, Christopher Bryson used a different approach than all the other victims. Instead of begging and pleading for his life, he decided to gain Robert's trust. He was calculating a plan in his mind that Berdella was completely unaware of. So, through gaining his trust, Christopher convinced Berdella to untie him from the bed and tie his hands in front of him. When Berdella did this, he didn't realize that he had also accidentally left a box of matches in his bedroom. Christopher Bryson was just waiting for his moment, waiting for the time for Berdella to leave the room before he had accomplished his great escape. Bryson grabbed the matches, lit one, and burned through the ropes that were tying his hands together, and then he proceeded to successfully escape through the bedroom window. He survived his 5-day ordeal at what I can only describe as the hell house of Robert Berdella Jr. Now, the remainder of this information is all supplied from the Radford University article, but on April 2nd, the police began their 2-day search of Berdella's home. In his house, they found his torture logs and numerous pictures that Berdella had taken of his victims. Not to mention his house was completely unkempt and described as nothing short of disgusting. His initial arrest was in regards to 7 counts of sodomy, 1 count of felonious restraint, and 1 count of first-degree assault. This left his initial bail at $500,000, which, for the late 1980s, was a lot of money. I mean, nowadays it's a lot of money, but definitely back in the 1980s. But police still had no idea what they were in for. This is a direct quote from the article that states, quote, "Bail was revoked when an officer testified that one of the men in the photographs from Berdella's house appeared to be dead. Berdella remained in jail while police found more evidence of his crimes. This included digging up his backyard where they found Pearson's partially decayed skull," end quote. The series of events then follows as July 22nd, a grand jury indicts Berdella for the murder of Larry Pearson. August 3rd, in order to avoid the death penalty, Berdella pleads guilty to Pearson's murder. September 2nd, the grand jury indicts Berdella for the murder of Robert Sheldon. And by September 13th, Berdella plea bargained to life in prison in exchange for a full confession of his crimes. By December 15th, he then confessed to all of his crimes in vivid detail. On December 19th, Berdella pled guilty to the first-degree murder of Robert Sheldon and 4 counts of second-degree murder. He was then sent to the state penitentiary in Jefferson City, Missouri, where he then died on October 8th, 1992 of a heart attack. Not that there is any light in this situation, but he did have a $50,000 trust fund, which he awarded to the victim's family members And Todd Stoop's mother actually won a civil death suit against Berdella, which rewarded her with $5 billion, which is a lot of money. But obviously, Berdella didn't have this money, so she was basically awarded any future earnings that he would make. The last thing that was taken from an interview of Berdella was that he said police and media distorted him for how they portrayed him in his crimes. So amidst, you know, brutally raping, torturing, and murdering, and dismembering numerous victims, he was still somehow worried about his image and how he was displayed by the media, which is ridiculous. But nonetheless, this concludes today's episode of the serial killer Robert Berdella Jr., better known as the Kansas City Butcher. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you wouldn't mind going to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or liking us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, that would be lovely and super appreciated. I appreciate any support in keeping this podcast going. And our Instagram page, FB_crime podcast, will have the updated pictures of this case as well as the Full Body Crime Facebook page. I will warn you that these photos are graphic and are taken of victims in their most vulnerable and helpless moments, so please just be cautious and have respect for the victims while you're viewing them. But all sources will be listed on the full-bodiedcrime.com page, but otherwise, you guys, please stay safe with this whole COVID-19. Wash your hands, stay home, and, you know, let's beat this virus together and stand strong during these tough times. But I hope you guys are all staying physically healthy, mentally healthy, and most importantly, I hope you all have a beautiful and blessed day until we meet again. Bye-bye.